Julian Edelman, I believe, will be making it as the
MVP.
Oh,
really?
That's my MVP pick.
Julian Edelman,
yes.
MVP of Super Bowl 53.
Yep.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Say it all the time, they need to give you your own show, not that rubbish Dame Shack fellow.
You were a seer there, handsome. You did say Julian Edelman. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Seated to my immediate left there, the voice you just heard, he's no longer our resident Miami Dolphins fan, but he is here to help us chop up what we saw all week long in Atlanta, and more importantly at this point, start projecting ahead. It's enough's enough already. The parade's been done. What more do we have to say about the 2018 season? No, we have to figure out 2019, not just the game of football, but the game of life. Like I say, I hope all's well wherever you are, but Studio 66, we're ready to roll with a proper introduction of Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, thank you, Dave.
Is that right?
Yeah, I am.
You seem a little low.
No, I'm not low. No, gosh, no, not low. I'm a little tired after Super Bowl, so we... You know, Super Bowl week, you burn the candle at both ends. You're working hard. But, Dave, you're also, you know, you're playing hard, too, aren't you?
Me?
Everyone.
No, I like to turn in around about 10 p.m. or thereabouts.
You did have a 14-hour sleep. Famously.
12-hour sleep.
And it came shortly after you and I had dinner together.
That's right. And then
I feel like maybe my conversation put you to sleep for 12 hours. But anyway.
The human sleeping pill. Handsome exactly. Hank.
So then I...
NyQuil, I'll do your ads. My boy will be terrific as your pitch man.
By the way, number two from the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan. Caught up with him in Atlanta. You'll hear that sound, and I'm pleased to report it is not about what the Super Bowl is going to be. No, we talked about the Atlanta Falcons and other important issues in the NFC South. We'll let you hear that in just a little bit. I find him as usual. I've met him now a few times. Delightful fellow.
Nice guy.
Very unassuming for being the main man in a gigantic sports town. Anxious to get over the hump. That town is the most star-crossed, I think, of all sports towns just about at this point. But anyway, we chopped it up with two, so stick around for that. Now, Handsome, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. No. So what I was saying is that, you know, it was a long week, and then I had made a plan which looked good on paper, which was to move house on Monday following Super Bowl.
Mazel tov on the new digs.
I flew back from Atlanta pretty early in the morning. It certainly felt very early in the morning. And
did Kamish Goodell co-sign your lease? Or
he did
or
not.
Your,
no.
Whatever it's called, your mortgage.
But I developed a cold on the flight. You know when you can just feel yourself coming down with something.
Yeah.
And then I arrived in LA and it was pouring with rain, so much rain. And then I had to move house on Monday and Tuesday.
Wait, when did you get in?
I landed at 10:30 a.m. and as I landed. My house. When I got to the house that I used to live in, it was empty, and all the and furniture was being removed from there. And then, I mean, it was. I didn't have time for my feet to hit the ground. I was then carrying boxes and moving stuff and unloading boxes for 72 hours.
Wow!
And now I'm here, back at work.
Wow, brawny! Look at you.
Yes.
Talk about burning it at both ends.
Exactly.
Also, finding things completely empty. Jared Goff, a lot of people seem to be acting as though, like, just empty out his locker, man. He blew it in the Super Bowl. We chopped that up with our pal Matt Money Smith, who made
some
great points.
How is Money? Is he okay?
He's terrific. He's a little sad that he missed our annual get-together, our culinary tour across Football America, specifically at Super Bowls. And you and me had a delicious steak, didn't we?
We did have a good steak at Ray's Steakhouse in Atlanta on Peachtree Street. One of many Peachtree Streets.
It was good. And, enough with that. It was very confusing. Both the hotels that we stayed at, there were two hotels by the same brand, and they're both on Peachtree, but except one's on Peachtree Street and the other one's on Peachtree Ave.
Like what?
How important?
Those are what? A street apart. It's like,
yes.
Come on, guys. Come up with some other names.
Yes.
If you want to do what fruits, Dave Dameshek is, you know, he can help you name all your streets.
Maybe they could have just done like a... They should have done like whoever wins the Super Bowl MVP. That replaces Peachtree because now I've claimed ownership on some level here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Edelman
you
Rowe.
Own the town.
Edelman Rowe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Go for that.
So anyway, yes, do go back and listen to the earlier episode of DDFP this week. And by the way, if you want to see all the stuff we did from must-win game down on the field, great time kibitzing with my new friend, Tom Brady. He loves me now.
He does love you. Yeah. I heard him say it.
Thank you. And you know, all that stuff. And then the red carpet at the honors. And then I tried the jersey exchange with the Patriots. But those...
They didn't really go for that, did they?
I mean, I thought they were fancy pants. I thought they could do without their jerseys,
right.
But no. Oh, no, I better keep this one. It's a Super Bowl jersey. Like, all right, then I guess you ain't hip.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Dave, I'm not one to blow sunshine up your butt, but what I would say is you had your best Super Bowl ever.
I agree.
I feel like you came away. I mean, Edelman narrowly edged you as the MVP of last week.
Oh, stop it, you. Wade Phillips, though, probably agrees with you.
Yeah, everything from Wade Phillips to the work you did on the red carpet at NFL Honors was fantastic.
I agree. It was terrific. No, I said...
And Emma did a lot of it as well.
Emma and Ricky Hollywood
and Eddie
Ryan
back
Bartlett.
Here, like, sometimes, here's the thing. You have to have the spine of the team. There's the team. There's the fancy the fancy stars, the ones that get interviewed by their lockers. But there's one guy, you know, there's a long snapper or a punter or a backup guard that doesn't necessarily get the limelight, but deserves...
That's what Eddie Spaghetti is. He's the backup guard.
He's the backup guard alongside.
He's the Matt Slater of the past week. I give him the MVP of the week. I announced it on the last one at the end of the show. Now we'll say it near the top. I thought he was the MVP. He's back here.
Yes.
We're all out there tripping the light. Fantastic.
Emma was at parties until 4 or 5 a.m., rolled in, drunk every morning.
Yeah, Emma VP's out there dancing.
Right.
But literally bumping hips on the dance floor with
Emily
Ratajkowski.
Grinding with
literally with Emily Ratajkowski and
that's how it went down, yeah.
And Spaghetti's back there sitting next to a computer,
right?
Looking
into the black mirror.
Who wins that one? Well, I mean, both really.
Yeah.
So Handsome, it was a good trip for you.
Yeah, I liked it.
I saw you. Handsome has now. We all have surreal lives. I really do. Cheese ball or whatever. I got to get cheese ball because I've spoken out against cheese ball. Cheesy, hammy, and corny.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all intended as insults.
Yeah, but
they're all three delicious foods. Right. I don't understand who decided that.
Yep.
Saccharin. Now that's bad sugar. That's bad, unhealthy sugar.
Yeah.
However, whether this is saccharin or not, I can't believe that we get to do what we do. I can't believe that Handsome and I take now an annual photograph, two schnooks, one from England. I mean, I'm, what are you doing in our game? What are you doing at our thing? What are you doing at the big game? You know,
right.
Same thing for me.
Right.
Von Miller looks me in the eyes and I can just see what he's thinking, you know, but, it's crazy that we stand there and the players are going by. I can't get over it. I am unironically overwhelmed by that.
On the Super Bowl.
I just can't believe that's what we're
doing. Unbelievable.
You know? It's weird.
I saw Emma down there as well.
Emma was there. She stood right in the middle. In fact, that's one of the ones you got to check out at NFL.com/DDFP. Emma VP found herself. We were like, it was really, that's not the life for me. I know that. I'm glad I've never been one of those guys who has to go into the locker room after games and stuff like that. That crush of sweaty humanity I ain't cut out for that. I don't like that. Everybody pushing and where they have to get to is more important. Well, but their right to go and ask a question is more important than your right.
Yeah.
And they push you and all that crap. So here comes Gronk and all of a sudden Emma VP finds herself surrounded by the entire Gronk family, almost literally. I mean, like generations of the Gronk family.
Right.
And they're all giant human beings. Even the babies are bigger than Emma VP and she's in the middle of it, and they're all just start like, hoot, 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 start jumping up and down like that, and just Emma VP standing in the middle of it.
Did you not join in?
No, she wept.
I filmed it. I got it all on tape.
You should have joined in.
I should have.
I would have liked to have you, hoot, Who I did. I was standing like I was two people deep back from where you.
Oh, you could see all that.
And I watched all that happening, and I did see them jumping up.
I got
and down
a nice
like
pan to Dave in there. It was perfect. He nice. Was part of it too.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you. She knows Dave, how to feed the ego.
Looking not at all mm-hmm. awkward.
And also the yeah, I mean all that stuff. You know. I tweeted it out the other day. The James Devlin running around with his two little boys.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
must be
awesome.
2 and 3 years yeah. of age. They're just having the best time in the world. I was just. It's so great to see that. People always say, you hate the Patriots. Like, yeah, I don't like them as a Steelers fan to have the same number, but you'd have to be a weirdo to stand there and be like, yeah, I hate these guys. They're right. terrible guys. They're joyous. They have families. They're human beings, as it turns out. You know?
My other favorite moment was, you know how you watch some, like, I guess, True Detective or Luther? Have you ever watched Luther?
No, you've told me I have to, but first I have to get all the way. The problem for me with True Detective Season 3 is I'm enjoying it, but I'm also falling asleep every time I try to watch
I haven't started watching it yet.
I'm stuck on Episode 3. I've given it about 4 times now, and it's not that I'm not enjoying it. I just find myself, like, asleep on the couch trying to catch it. Spaghetti, you've been watching it, right?
It's awesome. It's as good as season one. The acting is phenomenal.
I'm sure it's
why do you have that
so
tone in your voice?
Because you're fine. Because if you're saying you fall asleep 4 times on it, it's kind of like a knock against it.
I guess what, Spaghetti? Why don't you go out and make 4 babies? You know, then we'll see what you're doing. If you make 4 babies, I suspect you're going to fall asleep a little bit more than you do.
That's how you watch True Detective. To watch True Detective, you have to go out and make 4 babies first.
No, what he's saying.
Don't be dumb.
Don't be difficult, Eddie. He's saying that life is harder, and I've only made 3 babies. I plan on making no more. Because I've seen what can happen if you like see what happened to Dave's body after he had his 4th child. But
I let myself go.
Exactly, let himself go. But I do understand. It gets exhausting. You'll learn. But what I was going to say, you know how in those shows, you watch the shows, and then at the end, you discover who the bad person is, had terrible intentions and done awful things. And you're like, oh, I remember seeing them the first time, and you see them, and then you're like, yeah, they did have a weird look on their face. The picture of Emma with John Hamm, she has the look on her face of someone who is plotting something terrible on someone else.
All of Hollywood shut down today as the search for John Hamm continues.
And then he's in like a dark basement and there's pictures of him all over the wall and stuff like that. Just, I can imagine that might be the outcome.
I was just excited. Big smile on my face, you know?
Yeah, right.
No malice there.
No, definitely no malice.
Last seen a nearby improv class. Yeah. MVP. Yeah, that was your highlight, MVP?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And meeting Kimmy Schmidt on the sideline, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, we talked to Kimmy Schmidt as well. That
didn't look like she was actually, you were actually talking with her.
By the background
of a video that you
find were. Find MVP at the MVP, and you'll see what she's talking about. She did an interview-ish with Kimmy Schmidt down there. Anyway, my highlight, how about Wade Phillips wearing Bum Phillips clothes?
That was fantastic.
That is one of my greatest achievements in my career. That's top 5 in my career. That Wade dressed like his father at my behest. All right, let's talk about some football here. Spaghetti has taken the time to put together a rundown for us, and his rundowns. You know, sometimes we just eschew them and roll with with what's going on between our own heads. I say today we honor him as our MVP of Super Bowl week, and we just read straight down his list. What do you think of that?
Sure, let's
okay.
do it.
Number one, actually, Spaghetti, why don't you introduce them?
Sure. Number one, and I will say that Emma did help make this with me, so it's also hers. Number one, 2019 QB Carousel, Day's proposal alongside Bill Barnwell, Mina Kimes on Carr to the Jags, full to the Raiders. A quick update, though, with this. I don't know if you saw Dalen Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, the last move the sticks, their prediction, and I'm not sure if they heard something from someone, but they said they'd be surprised if Foles is not a Jaguar. So that might change number one.
Ha! That must be because I said that this is the new 2019 free agent QB accord, and Barnwell quickly responded, I'm now out. I'm now withdrawing from that accord because I have new news on that. Maybe that's correct. I think, though, that John DeFilippo, this is all Bucky Brooks told us. Speaking of Bucky, he taught us many moons ago that the NFL is a profession, and just like every other profession, it has to do with relationships. People are comfortable bringing in people that they've worked with successfully in the past and get along with. And Derek Carr and John DeFilippo love each other. That's my math on that one. And I don't think I just, and it's all as far as that goes. The other side of that is John Gruden didn't. He didn't draft Derek Carr. That's not his guy. Perhaps he wants to bring his own. He has all those draft picks. Maybe he wants to get another one to get, who knows, Kyler Murray or somebody else.
Yep.
What do you think? Let's play the game. Let's spin the wheel.
Should we do teams or should we do players? So you're going to say, where is Nick Foles going to go? Or are you going to say, who is going
to
be
the
quarterback?
That's up to Spaghetti. You
Eddie,
start it off.
What would you like to do?
I think Foles,
No, you misheard the question.
No, what I'm going to say is I don't think Carr is getting moved. And I think that Foles is the guy that's moving, so I think the carousel starts with Foles and kind of goes
so
after that.
So Foles. Well, I'm hoping for Derek Carr to get a new start. I don't think Denver makes any sense.
Derek Carr is going to be
a
Raider.
He's a Raider, please.
I believe he's a Raider.
Okay. Next, Dwayne Haskins. Giants?
Giants.
That makes sense, right? Spaghetti, we're in on that?
I think so.
Okay. Jags, are we going to go Nick Foles down there?
Let's send Foles to the Jags.
I think he's a Jag, but I also think they still might draft a quarterback.
I don't love that fit. Nick Foles is loose with the ball. That's not what the Jags need. Is that really what they're looking to do?
They're in win now mode. I think the AFC Championship game from 2 years ago got in their heads. So, like, if we get a quarterback and we have the pieces, then they might go BPA at 7.
How about Bengals?
I would say Teddy Bridgewater makes sense to the Jags. If you want somebody, if you're going to play the kind of ball that they have played the last couple of years, you would think Teddy Bridgewater's the perfect fit there. Takes care of the ball. An Alex Smith type. Not as mobile, but...
I was going to send Teddy to the Dolphins.
Oh, you were? Mm-hmm. That's not very splashy.
That's exactly what I want for the Dolphins.
You notice I did. You notice I didn't refer to you as our resident.
That's why I'm saying, whatever I just said. I don't want the Dolphins.
The Bengals. The one I think that they should do again. New coaching staff there. Who knows how this all play out? What we do know is that Andy Dalton, in all his time there, and put it on Marv if you want to. What's their high watermark? Getting to the wild card round of the playoffs, that's it. I would move on. The better fit there, people see them as the same guy based on winning percentages and all that. But in terms of specific physical talent, wouldn't Joe Flacco be a much better fit in Cincinnati than Andy Dalton with that
could
big
be.
Arm of his?
The other one I could see Cincinnati taking is
John Ross and A.J. Green. If A.J. Green's comes back all right with Joe Mixon behind him, now we're talking. Play action, that's Joe Flacco. Play action with Mixon, throw it deep.
Ryan Tannehill's first quarterback coach in the NFL was Zach Taylor, who's now the Cincinnati Bengals. If we're talking about relationships, that would be one that would make sense.
Denver Broncos.
I think they take a quarterback right up top.
I think Kyler Murray makes some sense.
I think Murray would make some sense. I think
defense dominant team.
Yep.
They don't have a good offensive line. That's kind of a good fit for you in the short term. A guy who runs away from pressure, who makes plays with the legs, diminishing then the impact of the offensive line that is, like I say, poor. You pair that up with what should be a good defense again in 2019. I like that fit. Anyone else there?
I would say Drew Lock, just because of his giant arm. Maybe Elway sees something of himself in him.
Sure, I think Elway's dying to hit on a quarterback after missing so many times that he's just like, I have to hit on one. I have to get one guy. Who's
and
a
5 foot
youngster.
Nine Kyler Murray feels like a roll of the dice, eh?
Right.
I think so. And Drew Lock, there's a comparison. I know it's way too early for this, but like Drew Lock's been compared to Matt Stafford already, so Elway might bite on that. Although there's another rumor that two teams in the top 10 are high on Haskins, and part of me does not think it's the Giants. So who knows what Denver's up to?
We got to get over this nonsense. How many times this is the same? It really is the whatever the definition of insanity is that I don't remember what it is, but doing the same thing over and over again to get different
results.
Just
to find it.
Right. That was it. Right. This thing of like, the Giants are going to keep Eli, but then they're going to draft. They're going to use the 7th overall pick to draft his replacement instead of making their 3-13 better than what it was last year. That seems loco. Choose Eli or the kid, one or the other. Don't do both. That way,
that makes total sense.
Eli, it doesn't. Not in the 21st century. Who does that? Nobody does that anymore. Or it doesn't work. If you try to do that, we'll put Joe Flacco in there so that Lamar Jackson gets his feet wet. Why? Don't do that. Get rid of Flacco and put the kid in there. They would have have been better off at the start of the season that way.
I don't see that way at all.
Baker Mayfield. But we brought in the vet Tyrod Taylor. Why? What point did that serve?
And it worked out. He sat a couple weeks, and then Tyrod was.
It did
his
work
play
out.
Up,
they might have gotten
down,
to the playoffs.
And then, I mean, Baker was in games that he lost too. It just they gave him a couple extra weeks. The best case scenario for the Giants, you draft Haskins. Eli plays pretty well, and they somehow win 10 games and maybe sneak into the playoffs. Worst case scenario, Eli is way worse than he was last year, and you have to, you know, put in Haskins as a starter way earlier than you want. I mean, he's only played 1 year at Ohio State. I think it's the perfect scenario, too, because Eli has already shown he's been open to teaching quarterbacks. He tried it with Laletta. He tried it with Webb. Like, he's okay with doing that role.
Okay. I've heard that it would make sense for Derek Carr to pair up with John DeFilippo. I will ultimately defer to what Bucky and DJ know. They're tied in pretty good with the Jags, so I would think that they know something if they're saying that. However, talk about relationships. Tom Coughlin doesn't want Eli Manning. That's the perfect fit. Easy peasy. Set it in. Put the Hall of Famer in there under center alongside that great defense. Now you're cooking with gas. And the Giants, in return, they get, at worst, let's say, a second-round pick. Maybe they can get a first for the Hall of Famer. Maybe that'll do it.
Jacksonville has two former Giant O-line replacements that the Giants got rid of. Like with Eric Flowers, like they're bad. Like and Eli was third in the league, I believe, and passes to the running back.
Okay, so trade down in the draft and you flip that sixth overall pick and get a couple offensive linemen.
I think that Eli's in the best situation with Shermer. Likes to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quick. He has Saquon who can catch the ball.
I know, but are the Giants in the best situation with Eli under center at this point? Saquon,
but sometimes
move on.
I mean,
it's over.
His completion percentage last year was pretty high. He did not have statistically an awful season.
I know. Listen, let's stop with completion percentage. When half the passes everybody throws in the NFL these days are checkdowns.
If you took out all of Saquon's catches, it would still be 63%, which is not.
Oh,
awful.
Look at Spaghetti doing homework.
Yeah, of course. I looked into it.
Of course. Of course, I'm ready. Think I just shoot my mouth off? All right. Did we cover all
the
teams?
Have we covered
teams
all
there?
The teams?
Oh,
how about
Washington
the Washington
Redskins?
Redskins.
What do you say there, handsome?
I don't know.
How about Sam Bradford? Let's do that. That'd be a nice mix.
Maybe Foles goes there. Stays in the division. Shows the Eagles what they're missing.
So. I said Flacco there originally. I think maybe a guy like if Teddy wants to go there.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, didn't get a contract.
You know he's gonna,
I could see
hey,
that. That yeah, makes that makes
you,
some
you
sense.
You know that yep. Alex Smith has to come back because they paid him so much. So if he's like, okay, the Redskins had a decent kind of team. They got, you know, bit by the injury bug. Teddy has a good season with them. Then proves he deserves a contract. He's still young. I think that makes a lot of
sense.
How
about Eli?
I don't think Teddy's going to.
How
would
Eddie?
That would be
the best.
That's the best.
That
if Donovan best. McNabb Let's hadn't have been bad when he got there, that would have been those right. stories are the best. You betray your team like that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's fun.
Eli's finishing his contract as a Giant. This is probably it.
Okay. All right. What's the next question, Eddie?
Two is, what was everyone's favorite thing that
we did this.
Dave did during the Super Bowl? The second part. Did you carry in the food? Oh, I guess you had the dinner.
We did. We had steak. Oh, the thing that we should mention about that, though.
Too many Peachtree Street.
What was great about that, though, handsome, the thing that we should mention, first of all, our wedge was divine. We had that. Yeah, this is what you
do. When we go out, we share food.
Yeah, we say, like, let's feast.
Family style, because we are the DDF family.
We say, like, kings. Tonight, like, kings.
We really did decide.
We spare ourselves nothing.
So you ordered the wheel, the whole
We didn't order the wheel.
We could have done the wheel.
But we went one better than a wheel, which I've never seen before.
This was the greatest. So, first of all, the proper way at a steakhouse, just for future reference, here's the perfect order at a high-end steakhouse. The bisque, if you please. You start off with a nice bowl of bisque. Crab or lobster or otherwise.
Doesn't matter. Well, both.
Next up, give me the blue cheese wedge.
Blue cheese wedge, which, by the way, the blue cheese, the man told us about the blue cheese. It was made in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He told
made
us.
It extra
Homemade
special.
Blue cheese.
Right. Locally sourced.
Right. Then you're going to a steakhouse. What are you going to order?
And then you got to have it. Then you have to have a beautiful steak.
You have a steak, but on the menu.
But Handsome said, let's get more than just steaks. Let's split some food. And I said, you know what? That you read my mind. The smell of fish was in the air.
Right.
And we said, I said, you know what? I have a taste. Maybe we split some scallops or something. And then Handsome said,
as an appetizer.
That's good.
And I said, wait, look at this line on the menu.
One step
you
ahead.
Order a steak. and then you get something to complement your steak.
Compliment your steak.
They were offering
lobster,
crab cakes, scallops.
So I said, compliment my steak. I want to compliment my steak with a scallop. Then they come out. It was four gigantic scallops. It was like you ordered two plates. That was literally what it was.
I said, I'll compliment mine. I like you, and I'd like to compliment you with a crab cake. Boom. It's like the size of a birthday cake.
We surfed and turfed and surfed some more.
And we deserted. We're like, okay, we should have some greens with this. Let's get some spinach. Creamed spinach, if you will. Creamed spinach everywhere.
That was really a high end. I don't know where that slots for us.
What else we had?
I don't recall, but I do know that it was a dessert of some kind.
And you know what? This is what topped it off for me. They gave us a booth. That's when you know you've made it.
Oh yeah, the booth.
There were only two of us.
Two person, and I love.
We had a table for six.
I was gonna say a booth for eight, and you got two guys in there.
We booted it up. Then I saw Handsome there. I saw one of our favorite guys that we get to work with, Goldie. I went out for dinner with him and his lovely bride. We had a great time in the Beltline area. Great part of Atlanta.
Your Beltline took a hit.
It did. I also had a steak there. And then David Feeney made his way out. He's the Patriots fan and one half of Dave's of Thunder. We did a show. We did a pregame that is basically the post game of the Super Bowl because it didn't post until after the Super Bowl. But you can listen to that at your leisure there. And then guess where he and I went to punctuate another successful Super Bowl week?
Raise. Did you compliment your steak?
I didn't. I felt like that would be too much. I already complimented it. Yeah. I just had a...
What's your steak order? Do you do a filet?
A filet. Yeah. I don't want a lot of steak. I'm not looking for a lot of steak. I'm looking for a nice.
I go strip. I usually go New York strip, and that's what I did on this occasion. They tell you at the steakhouse, always get the one that has the bone.
Yeah,
you know,
I like the ribeye.
Ribeye
is the most marbled, so it has the most flavor. Mm-hmm. But probably
I know,
the least
but
healthy.
I don't like. I like to eat the entire thing. I like it to be gone, and there's too much meat left on the bone, literally.
Well, the ribeye has it's the T-bones. You have the New York strip. Part of the ribeye. The ribeye has the bone through the middle of it.
Is this boring, Emma?
No, you remember you had that tomahawk steak with Marcus Lawrence.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That was delicious. That was a great one. You missed that time. That was a good time, though.
No, you have to rub it in.
Next question.
Number three is the guest that I was most jealous that you guys all met while I was still in Los Angeles.
Is that a question for us or for you?
You have to guess.
Multiple
which one
choice.
Out of the ones
this
you
is somebody
guys
who we actually
met.
Interviewed, not somebody
interviewed.
Who we met.
There were.
Because we saw Saquon. We saw him, but we didn't interview
him. For football playing guests, he's number two. I did hear that you guys did meet him.
We didn't do a proper interview with Chris Long, but he's the best.
He's number one. He's number one football playing guest. Yeah.
He is the greatest.
He won the Walter Payton Man of the Year, and he should win it every year.
I agree, but more importantly, he's funny.
He's good. He's a good human.
Not
being.
More importantly, but what a wonderful man. I was talking to his guy who's with him at all times, and I reminded him, and this guy agreed. He's like, "Yep, that's exactly right." I said, "In a world of guys, Chris Long is a man." Huh? Just the chick gave away an entire
wow, that's
salary.
Quite a compliment.
You know?
Are you gonna,
I'm a guy.
Are you going to climb the mountain with him? He just released the list of.
No.
You're not going to do
Kilimanjaro. I see Big Cat has promised in 2020 he'll do it.
Yeah.
I will not be making any such. I mean, climb a mountain? I would perish.
That's good content, though.
Then it would be good content for Chris Long in the promotion because it'd be like, yeah. That schnook, the potbelly guy, yeah, he died on the hill.
He died there.
That's what we're willing to do to bring attention to the need for water across the Big Blue Marble.
They could all ride your corpse back down the mountain.
Well, that's
like as a sled.
That'd be a fun kind of a ride.
like six people sitting on your bloated
just
dead
use
body.
My belly. Just use my belly for a bouncy house for evening activity or something like that. So Chris Long's
it's Chris
number one.
Long and non-football playing guest would be Paul Rudd. Surprisingly over John Hamm. I know everyone's a big John Hamm fan, but Paul Rudd is my absolute number one favorite.
He's
well,
your
I just
one.
I just feel like Paul Rudd almost doesn't get his due of being like the top of like the comedy actor. Like John Hamm is like everyone. It just feels like everyone loves him, but Paul Rudd like underrated. I feel like A little bit.
I mean, all right, that's your perception. I mean, they're equally successful, I would say, right? About, I mean, absolutely. They're about on the same plane in terms of profile. Paul Rudd. And by the way, he's considered to be a handsome devil himself by the rest of the world, I think. Right, MVP?
Did your face look...
Is one more handsome than the other?
John Hamm is the most handsome guy I've probably ever seen in person.
Is that true?
Yes.
In the history of your life, you've never seen more handsome?
No.
Better than Patrick Claibon?
Yep, somehow.
Better than Dan Helly?
Just a little bit.
Better than David Carr?
Yep.
Wow.
Did your tummy feel like
better than
melting?
Handsome Hank?
Yeah, butterflies. Yeah, no offense, Hank, yeah.
Brett was in Atlanta. It's a shame.
That's outrageous. Yeah, fiance Brett standing nearby. She didn't even know his name. I'd like to get a picture for my fiance. I can't remember his name.
Pretty much.
I'd like to lock you in a basement and show you the pictures that I have of you on the mall.
All right. So, yes, but you know what was a fun one, too? The thing I like best is, well, not my favorite thing about the Super Bowl week, but one of the cool things that you see everywhere is as handsome's shuttling around on the Super Bowl field before the game, you had Kaká, right?
He's a handsome guy as well, actually.
He was. Oh, his significant other.
Significant other
was also
a
handsome woman.
Well.
Yes.
Yes, I looked after Brazilian soccer player Kaká and then British soccer star.
Does he speak English?
Harry Kane. Yes, he speaks good English.
I thought I was going to get to talk to Harry Kane.
Well, I tried to do it, and then I don't know what the hell you were doing.
He's Tottenham, right?
Tottenham and England. Yeah. Captain.
Sounds right.
Tottenham.
Tottenham and England.
Tottenham.
Sorry. Captain.
Come on, spaghetti.
I know, I got to be better.
Better,
do you want to do four or not?
The other, yeah, I do. But the best thing I do. But the best thing is when you just turn around and we're talking to Matt Ryan, and you'll hear that in a second. Is we're talking to him, and I turn and there's Mike Vick right next to him, and I'm like, oh, look at this. What else would you see in Atlanta but Matt Ryan and Michael Vick? You know, talking about being quarterbacks in Atlanta, you know?
You
it was the greatest. They just stood there and kibitzed with each other. I felt like a fly on the wall.
You know how
I snap photos.
There's always one player or celebrity that during Super Bowl week, you're like, oh, okay, now it feels weird.
Oh, I got forgot.
Two
Go ahead.
Times.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Who?
Marino.
You everywhere. Saw Marino? I didn't
not,
see him once.
I'm not just, did I see him. He was everywhere. I went to breakfast. He was sitting at the next door table. I would get in the elevator. There's Marino. And I like, Marino. Get out of my face, Marino.
Oh, we had the best. We'll play that for you at some point. Speaking of Pitt legends, we were talking. That was the serendipity is like I'm talking about. Matt Ryan with Michael Vick. We're sitting on the red carpet talking to James Conner, Pitt hero. And who comes up but Curtis Martin. 25 years, I assume, or thereabouts, his elder comes over and says, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to say great season. And he's like, oh, you set the tone for me and everybody else after you. And then I'm sitting there, a guy who spent, you know, way too much of my youth in Pitt Stadium watching Curtis Martin play. And I saw Tony Dorsett play in his senior year, if you can believe it. I don't really remember it, but still, you know, Shady McCoy and beyond. And we're talking, and then here comes Ironhead Hayward, son Cam Hayward, right behind him, and we're talking about Pitt football. That kind of stuff is the greatest. So anyway, what were we saying? Oh, you saw Marino. Marino wasn't kibitz.
Another Pitt guy.
Yeah, he didn't kibitz. That's right. That's the connection. All right, now that you're on the banks of the
Three
Rivers, keep us there.
You want to keep it with Antonio Brown? Yeah. I know there's been some ugly stuff coming out, but just an update on that. Where do you think he'll end up in 2019?
I mean, yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean, if that report is true that he pushed a woman, then...
Pushed a woman.
That's. I mean, we don't know. I guess, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but that's the police report. He's not been charged with anything. But if that's the case, then I bid you good day, AB. Thank you for your service. And I would hope that you're not back, and I would expect that you wouldn't be. Where will he go? I don't know now. I mean, that's really, I mean, this is crossed a line from being, this could be the missing piece for some teams or make a splash for some teams. I don't know. People are going to be awfully cautious. I mean, especially, who knows? I mean, now we really are speculating. But, I mean, if he gets suspended, then that obviously is going to diminish what a team's going to be willing to give to get him. So,
yeah, that actually might, I mean, it might go from not playing this year to I've went from like another team or Steelers to my mind almost like Steelers or no one if this is all true. But anyway,
I don't know. I just, yeah, If he's suspended, yeah. I could see him still landing with somebody, but okay.
We did our two early predictions for next year's Super Bowl on Tuesday with money, but so I feel like Hank is owed his. Do you want to give your Super Bowl predictions for next year?
Sure thing. I'm going to say that the Chiefs will play the Rams.
Oh, that's all right. That's kind of fun. Why? Because that's the one that we wanted.
That's the one I wanted.
That will not happen. I can say here and now that won't happen.
Money said the Chargers because they pay him money.
Right.
Right.
He said, yeah, his AFC title game was Chargers Colts. So I think he likes the Colts, but obviously he can't.
Right.
He might like the Chargers to vanquish the Colts, but he's just floating the Colts out there. But yeah, I don't know. The Chiefs, that's just the history suggests.
Yeah, that it doesn't happen that much. But I would be
sad. That they'll take a slight step backwards.
Right. But I'd be sad if they're not. If, like, we want a really good Chiefs team. They're just so much fun to watch.
Next up, let's.
What was yours?
They just franchised D4, by the way.
Steelers?
Oh, did they now?
Their defensive coordinator said we're happy to have him back next year, so it sounds like he will be franchised.
Huh. That's one of the guys I was hoping that the Steelers would try and target with what I'm assuming is going to be some extra loot that they haven't had in the last couple of years because of some big departures. I was hoping that would be a perfect fit for what that defense needs. But I said the Packers, and Colts make a lot of sense.
Dave, the Packers.
Why not?
No, just enough with the Packers.
Enough with what? All right, I like that team.
I do too, but like I've spent too much time expecting them to be good. They're not. They
That's
they
when
can't
they're going
to
come and get you. That's when they're going to bite you when you're sleeping on them.
I don't know.
New head coach.
It felt like a very underwhelming hiring.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what. Yeah, I agree with that. But the thing that we'll get into is free agency and the draft goes down. But right now, what seems like the toughest division to you? That's a good one. The NFC North.
AFC West.
Well, think about the North. If the Lions get a little bit better and they showed signs here and there of maybe being halfway decent, what if they, and Kerryon Johnson wasn't healthy in the second half of the season pretty much. If they're a little bit better than the Packers, the Bears defense is transferable from one season to the next. And then the Vikings, aren't going anywhere. That's a brutal division.
NFC North, AFC South, I like a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, Colts, if the Jags come back a little bit, and the Texans. Who am I forgetting?
Titans.
And the Titans. Oh, yeah, right. I'll go with the NFC North. Okay, next question.
Now that all teams have hired a coach, who is the best rookie coach will be this year?
Go ahead, Handsome. I don't know.
Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins.
Really?
Sounds like he's back on the Dolphins.
He's back already.
Right. I think it might be a good hire.
It's got to be. Well, for me, it's got to be Freddie Kitchens. That team is just about guaranteed. If you talk to anybody in the last few weeks, the Browns sound like a pretty big lock to win the AFC North in 2019. Then the Ravens are good, and they feel good in Cincy. Steelers will be lucky to win four games next year. It sounds like
there's always a lot of proof that those guys that get hired inside because they're popular with players that always works.
That always works out. How could it go wrong? Of course,
the players love him. He gives them the freedom that they desire.
You know who was nice to catch up with, Handsome? Our mutual old pal Jarvis Landry.
I had you caught up with Jarvis Landry on the red carpet, and then afterwards I was standing there with a Brazilian fella that I was
hanging
around. No, a different guy.
A very nice guy.
He was a fan from there who'd won tickets to the Super Bowl. And Jarvis and I got chatting. And so I guess 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago in San Francisco, Jarvis sat next to me during the Super Bowl, and I had the opportunity to introduce my son to him. First thing Jarvis said, "How's your boy? How's he doing?" Such a nice thing. And since then, Jarvis has had kids. He's got a little daughter, and he's got a son on the way. So we talked about what it's like to be fathers. It was we had a nice, completely unrelated to football catch up.
He's a lovely guy. Yeah, he's a super nice fella, and he recalled that the last time we kibitzed with microphones in front of us that he dropped the decisive piece in Connect Four, and I reminded him.
And you didn't even notice that he'd beaten you.
Because it wasn't embarrassing.
It was
I was doing an exhibition.
It was extremely embarrassing.
I'm gonna beat Jarvis Landry. Come on, that would have been embarrassing for him. I wasn't gonna do that to him. He did confirm though that I asked him, was that catch you made in Baltimore in week 17 on that what would have been the game winning drive? Was that the greatest catch of your career? And he said, yeah, I think it was. That one when he scooped the ball, that impossible catch where he somehow
made it upside down.
It was crazy. That really was. Yep. And I pressed him to try and say something about Baker Mayfield, but he loves him. He swears by him. Loves him. That's,
well, what else is he going to say?
I don't know. Might slip up. Jarvis, you know, might say something like, but kid's got a way to go. You know, good thing 80's here, you know. Could have said something like that.
He's going to slip up at NFL honors right before that Baker Mayfield could have won Rookie of the Year. He's gonna trash
him. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't that good.
I know. That was a bunch of stinkers out there. Kyle Long and Kirk Cousins, I brought them up together on the DDFP stand there on the red carpet, and I tried my best to make them express rivalry, hatred, bloodlust for each other. They refused.
Kyle Long also very, very funny, and loses out to his brother as top guest, but like him saying he hates working out and wants to play video games, and he's also like the biggest looking on camera, was the biggest looking guy I think you interviewed all week. He seemed like just a humongous man.
Chris Long, we can relate to that, right, Eddie?
Right, thick cast. We had a lot of thick cast talk today. I'm glad you guys got into steaks.
That's a thick cast topic.
Staple.
I saw Vince Wilfork running around. You know who'd be a nice first guest is for a Super Bowl 53 review would be CJ Anderson. He'd be a good inaugural guest for the thick cast.
Normally, you have guys coming through this week.
I know. I was wondering about that. Do we have any word on that MVP?
Not yet.
Guests upcoming?
Not yet, but I'm sure we'll get some guys.
Any of them Patriots coming through here?
I bet. Not yet, but they'll come through.
Next question.
Well, now that it is offseason, what goals do you guys want to accomplish? You know, football's dying down a little bit. You want to, maybe for you, Dave, it's finished True Detective. Hank could build a shelf or learn
that reading a book or just the idea that it's a
something you can get to now.
It
that
felt
you
like
get
where
to,
the way that you'd written it here feels like you are actually learning to read a book. As an offseason.
No, I meant
as an offseason accomplishment.
I am assuming.
Like, maybe you could this offseason you could learn how to read a book.
No, I assume everyone here knows how to read.
What's an important thing, Handsome? When people ask questions like that, is that really what they're asking it for? So that you ask them. So Spaghetti, what's your special project in 2019?
I honestly don't. It's funny. So I don't. Maybe the offseason. Maybe travel to San Diego, see a few concerts. I don't know.
You want to drive
see
2 hours.
There's a couple concert venues I haven't been to in L.A. yet, maybe. Okay. That's
good.
Really it.
That's a good mission. Look at what else Spaghetti did today. He did his big boy hair. He didn't wear his hat.
It's got different hair. Like it's
he doesn't have different hair. It's that he always has his hat on backwards. Yeah. That's why it's jarring.
I went to the gym this morning, and I had time to shower and stuff. Back to the thick cast, hand up. I ate a lot of dessert last night. They opened the milk bar on Melrose near where I live. If you've never had Momofuku Milk Bar, it's very good. It's a very, very good dessert place. And I consumed a lot of cake.
I had a slice.
I love it when
slice
Eddie
and a half of their birthday cake, and I had three chocolate malt truffle balls. Yeah, so it was too much.
And then what? Three chocolate malt.
They make these like dough balls, but it was like just chocolate malt, and I had three of them. They were big.
What's a normal portion for someone to eat of those? Just one?
Probably one. Right. One's definitely filling enough. I had three. Okay. And then a slice and a half of cake.
Okay.
On
anything
top
else?
Of dinner.
Feels like Overeaters Anonymous.
Chocolate and dark chocolate covered almonds before, and then I had a pretty large dinner. I took a picture of it. It's on Twitter.
That'd be a good. Please stop doing.
I'm definitely going to check that out.
Come on, Spaghetti. Don't take pictures.
It wasn't. I didn't cook. That's why I tweeted. It was my girlfriend cooked for one. So I'm like, am I allowed to take a picture of her creations?
Oh, it was her. It was a homemade food.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to be involving ourselves in is the game of life. You know, not just the game of football in the off season.
Yeah, wanted to kick it off.
Yeah, that's exciting. Spaghetti's going to be doing his hair and eating fatty foods. Maybe we can find as your home base for the upcoming thick cast. It could just be that milk bar. Or to Emma's suggestion, maybe it should go the other way and should just be at Overeaters Anonymous. Shaming yourselves and everyone else there.
Neither a bad idea. The milk bar actually does have a kitchen. You can create your own, like, you could build your own dessert, essentially. They have classes there.
Well, that's good for you.
I love to go and build
That's like
something.
Complimenting your steak. It's like, I'd like a little bit of that.
It always tastes better when you do it yourself.
I go the exact opposite of that.
Really?
I think that's why I really ultimately, and it all ultimately goes back to what pleases me most. I find that cooking that tastes worse. I don't like how it tastes. I don't want to know what's it. I'm the opposite of Parcells. If I'm cooking the meal, I don't want to know what the ingredients are, something like that.
Well, no, but you're if you're eating them,
right,
you don't want to know what
that
the
fell apart.
Are,
the metaphor
the shopping,
fell apart.
Or do the cooking.
MVP, what are you going to improve in 2019 here?
I'm going to continue writing, that's for sure, in the off season. Write some more scripts.
Great.
Yeah. Work that's on my it. Comedy writing. Yeah, that's work on, that's it.
You and Ham going to hammer out the details of your
how
project.
How he gets released.
Yeah. New pilot for Ham.
That'll be good. Mm-hmm. That's beneficial.
A live action version of Netflix's You. Just trapped in a basement in a glass box.
Handsome, anything you're working on?
Well, you know what? I was going to say something different, but actually after that last discussion, I want to make the thick cast not just be a fun, you know, conversation, but actually a reality.
Love that idea, sure. And you have my full support here
and
now.
Would you like to be our first guest?
I mean, I don't know how I apply, but I don't know exactly what that's supposed to mean.
You can just
some
get
other
the,
people
just
I can
rank fruit.
Send your way. I mean, yeah, but that's not really what you're about. You don't want my...
No,
my,
we don't... Fruit.
You don't want to hear about my healthy fruit. Lifestyle,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
I don't. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I got to figure it all out here. I'll let you know. Let you know when I think of something.
Or I'll put a pin.
I do have a great idea for a children's book. I'll tell you off the air because I really do think it's a great idea. Perhaps I'll do that. Lastly, spaghetti.
Now I wanted to give you guys the opportunity on February 7th, very early before the next football season, to give one bold prediction. Could be a team that turns it around completely, a team that totally falls off. It could be a big trade that we don't see, kind of like how last year Khalil Mack was moved. Maybe a draft selection that surprises you, a player retirement. Coach retirement, anything of the sort. So right now, make your predictions so you look smart come September.
Handsome, I'm going to start with you because nothing comes to mind.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's great. That's the, good, that's the power you
there. By the way, the thing that everybody does in the off season that will gain steam is that we get closer and closer. It's, what are we, 215 days or so away from kickoff? People, what team's going to go from last to first this year? There's some juicy names in the mix this time around. What did Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh was third. No, Pittsburgh was, yeah, they're the second place team. Yeah, right. The Bungles, who was the last place in your division? Was it the Finns? No, it was the Jets.
The Jets.
Jets are an interesting one if they go and get, let's say, Le'Veon Bell. Were the Packers, it was the Lions in last place in their division. Your guys, Spaghetti, the Giants were last place, weren't they?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. That'll gain some steam. I just bought you.
Thanks.
38 seconds.
Mine is that the Patriots don't win the AFC East.
Do you feel that that's a legitimate prediction, or are you just saying that to say it?
I think it's a legit. I think it has more legitimacy than it's had before.
That sounds fun. Spaghetti.
I can get on board with that. I think Gronk actually will retire, and if that's not bold enough because it's been talked about.
Not, it's definitely retiring.
I'm sorry, Hank. I think lately... The Rams might move on or trade Todd Gurley. That's going to be my bold prediction. I think
I like that. That's a good one.
The weirdness coming from the injury and stuff, and seeing what they could do with CJ Anderson. They can go get it back later in the round. He costs them a lot of money. They have some, you know, free agency questions. They're going to move on from Gurley.
Trade him, you think?
Yeah.
Do you have any reason to think that, or is this pure reckless speculation?
No, I mean, I'm just putting like context clues together. You know, him not playing down like in the Super Bowl when it mattered the most. The injury thing seemed to be not the case. The money cost depends on how they can get. If they lose Tlaib and sue guys like that, Joyner, it's like, well, we could either sign guys to fix our holes, and we can kind of just they just showed that with CJ Anderson, a guy who didn't have a team a month and a half ago, could fill it in his spot. So maybe that's a thing they think about to get back to the promised land next year.
Weird. I think that team is very likely to regress one way or the other because with Gurley or without, they're going to lose some of those high-end pieces. They went all in to try and win it in 2018. MVP, any bold predictions?
I think the Patriots organization is just going to hang it up.
Oh!
Oh,
so, now that would be wild.
It's like, okay.
Well, they can't win the North.
A bold one.
They can't win the East. I like that one. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm excited for uniform stuff this year because the Jets are getting new ones. My bold prediction is I'm going to be terribly disappointed by that.
Do you know what? My bold prediction with regards to that uniform is that if the Jets get it right, they could win my affection as the best uniform in the NFL. I have a huge affinity for green, but they managed to screw up the green that they were wearing compared to their 80s green.
Oh, yeah.
If they get it right and they do something nice with a jet, I could easily be won over that that's the best uniform.
But what if I tell you this little bit of news? It seems as though it's going to involve a third color, the color gray.
All I'm saying is I'm willing to wait and see.
Okay.
But if they go with the real, the 80s green, which the Eagles used to have as well.
Right.
That's the color I like the most.
My concern for them is...
With the writing with the jet, with the
funny that Spaghetti considers that the old helmet, when in fact what they're wearing is the actual helmet. Yeah. That's the old helmet. Then in the 80s, they wore that Jets, slanted
which
Jets
is better.
Look.
Right.
Which was better. Then they went back to the old one and dulled the green.
I think the logo itself is better. That 80s logo is better, but I like the white hat uniform much better with the white
sleeves. But not the green. Not the green they wear now. The old green is
that dark
the
green
Kelly,
now.
Whatever it's called. That's like that.
A not so little birdie told me, as you know, one of my main targets in uniform reparations is for them to go for the Eagles to go with that 1960 getup. You know, that Kelly green that you speak of.
With the spread wings on, like...
Well, they always have that spread wings, but they look grander when they don't put a third, when they don't put an outline around it. I've heard that they might wear those at some point soon. Look at this, Handsome. You said you had to be out of here by in 8 minutes, and I said, don't worry about it. We're not going to come anywhere close to it, but now we're right
up
against...
So you said another team might beat the Jets and the...
I think the Eagles. I think the Eagles might announce that they're doing... So I don't know if that'll be their permanent get-up or what, but I think that they are finally going to do the right thing there. Seahawks, you need to get on board and go with your 1976 get-ups, the black shoes, the gray helmets.
Did you give a letter grade to the Titans from last year?
Yeah, I said I needed to see it in person. I said I don't think 2 years from now we'll look back and say that was a good move.
I actually like them.
They're fine.
They're fine. It's is what fine. They are. It's That's exactly
C.
right.
It's a C.
Really?
Yeah. 16 games. C.
The in person, the silver, the shiny silver face mask looks cool, but is it really ultimately, like I say, 2 years from now, people will see highlights of the Titans with Steve McNair and so on, and people say, man, they should go back to those uniforms. You watch.
That's true.
All right, that's it for us. But no, it's not it for us. That's it for Handsome Hank, because right now here comes number two from the Atlanta Falcons.
I can't stick around for Matt Ryan?
You can stick around, but spoiler alert, I already had the conversation. So if you have any questions, too late, you know, because it's done with. But here, I don't think I thread the needle with it, frankly, but you'll hear my conversation. I can't really put it into words. I can't get over what it must be to be that guy. To be any of those 32 guys where everybody loves you, but then they also hate you and, it went wrong. It's your fault. It's that guy's fault more than anybody else that was disappointed. We talked 28-3. I also finally get to share with him my important realization about the four cube. Well, listen to it. You'll hear it now. Why am I going to tell you about it? You'll hear it right now. Here he comes. Number two, Matty Ice.
That's Dave Damashek.
They are in my Jolly Rancher power rankings. They were number one, and Green Apple was number two, and then Cherry, I think, was three.
It doesn't matter after Green Apple.
I mean, I hear you. Like, how far down the list are we going to go?
What else do they make? I can't remember.
We're talking about
grape?
The best in the business. Yeah, they do make grape, and it's not very good. But who is very good is number two from the Atlanta Falcons, the regular Pro Bowler at this point, one of the best in the business. It's Matt Ryan. What's happening?
Not much, man. Happy to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to see you. And the first thing that strikes me, it is weird when I see athletes in person and out of uniform, out of that context. Man, you're tall, you know?
Thank you.
You really are.
I'm assuming that's a compliment.
It is a compliment. And what's further, I'm sure you heard of the report or the research thing or whatever they did where they studied the facial characteristics of QBs, and you were determined to be the perfect-looking quarterback. So, how did that sit with you?
Sat well.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with them, I'm not going to be weird, but I could like use it if I wasn't married. That could be like a, you know,
did you
my
know?
Face is symmetrical.
That would be a weird thing to pitch to a potential, a hypothetical lady would be like, hey, I don't know if you know, but I'm handsome. Like, yeah, like they would take a look know at that it. Or they wouldn't, right?
I guess. I guess they would.
Hey, tell us about this limited edition of Gatorade flavor.
So I've partnered up with Gatorade for a long time, but this year is pretty cool. They've made a limited edition Peach Blitz flavor, and I got to try it. It's really good. You got to take it home for your son.
I will. And peach, because that's the flavor, and Blitz, because you do football.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
You know, they're paying homage to the great state of Georgia, the Peach State, and the city of Atlanta, which is cool, and I appreciate them doing that. But the Blitz portion of it, you know, it went well.
Have you, well, I look forward to drinking it sooner rather than later. Now, have you ever considered the fact that the NFC South, in the era of four-team divisions, I am almost 100% sure you have in the division Cam Newton, number one, you wear number two, Jameis wears three, and Drew Brees wears nine for a grand total of 15. No division has quarterbacks with that combined low a total of quarterback numbers. Have you ever thought about it?
I have never thought about
weird,
that.
Weird, isn't it?
It 15. Is. One, two, three.
Patrick Mahomes by himself has the same 15. Number as you guys.
Done.
Right?
That is. When did you do this research?
You know what?
It just came to you?
That's like one of those things. That's like you like picking up the blitz. I just relied on natural ability. That's like what I did with that.
It's well done.
Thank you.
It's well done.
Why two?
Why two? So I wore number two when I was in high school. And the guy who was killing it in college at the time was Tim Couch at Kentucky. Tim Couch wore two. And so I think I was in like eighth grade or something. I wore number two. And then I wore it in college.
You have to be the only man on the face of the earth that was inspired by
Tim Couch, man.
By UK's couch.
Hal Mummy. I think Hal Mummy was calling plays for him. They were slinging it, throwing it everywhere. So I remember that was that. And then I went to Boston College and got number 12. And so when I came to Atlanta, I was going to wear number 12, but Michael Jenkins had the number. So I was like, you know what? I'll just go back to two.
And now you have surpassed, with all due respect to Mr. Couch, you've surpassed your hero and become the greatest two in pro football history. How does that sit with you? That's the savvy move that I give
you. You
got to
take a number that nobody else has
worn.
That's
right. Let me tell you something. Mike Daniels, 76. I've told him, like, by your second season, you were the best 76
Auto.
In football history.
Good player.
Alvin Kamara, 41. What? Terrence Newman, maybe? Like, I mean, come on. You're going to go down as the greatest.
41. This is really – I'd never considered that when I chose number
two. You thought you were going to come out and be dropping knowledge on everybody, but instead, Matt Ryan's the one learning today.
Yes, I am. I've learned a lot.
Tell me this, though. Here's my thought. For years I've been saying it's weird to me that in a world of 7 billion people that we can't collectively figure out 32 guys to successfully play quarterback in the NFL. It seems weird. Like, there's a lot to choose from. We can't get 32 of you guys to do it. But all of a sudden, I think we're just about there. Do you think that the state of QBing in pro football is, I mean, there are like three or four spots that need to fix, teams around the league that need to fix QB, and otherwise everybody's all set, huh?
It is. I think it is really good right now. I think there's a lot of, from the, you know, age gap down, older to younger, there's a lot of good quarterback play in the league right now, and I think you're seeing that with the production of the numbers and stuff like that, so... But the scarcity of finding them is good for job security, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point for you. What is it like? I love the human side of it, and it's a situation that, you know, few human beings have ever been in with to the magnitude that you are. And I don't want to bring up 51 to you, but, you know, the highs of being the city's hero and taking the team to the Super Bowl. And then carrying that with, do you feel bad when it doesn't work out? Are you angry? Are you empathetic? Like, I'm sorry, city, or is everybody slapping you on the back? You're still our hero. What's that mentality like?
It's all of it. You know, it's like everything you mentioned. There's a lot of people who have been incredibly supportive. There are a lot of people who are still pissed. I'm still angry, but I've gotten past it too. Like, there's a lot of different emotions that you have coming so close to getting it done. The biggest thing of all of it, though, is being there, it makes you want to get back. Mm-hmm. And it makes you want to be there again and have another opportunity at it and win it. And so that's kind of, that's more so than anything what that game makes me feel.
I'm really not trying to pick at the scab there, but for real, how do you get over that and come back the next season? And by the way, just for, so I want you to know, Matt Ryan, if no one else has told you this, your comeback season after that was just fine, and people acted like, oh, the Falcons, what happened to them after they lost that Super Bowl? You just about beat the Eagles in Philadelphia in January, and people treated that like, something. They better fix that team up. I thought, what did the world miss? You guys bounced back nicely, I thought.
I thought so, too. And I mean, the only thing that would have been better is we would have beaten the Eagles, won the next week, and won 2 weeks later. I mean, it was a year that, unless you were going to win every game and just roll right through to the Super Bowl, nothing would have been a good, you know, good encore to what we did in 2016. So I thought we handled that well. I mean, people talked about Super Bowl hangover all the time.
Yeah,
I thought we got past that.
Right.
You know,
you
we
just
won
about
games.
Won a big time.
We beat
game.
LA, which is a really good football team in LA. We had a couple chances from inside the 10 to win at the end of the game against the Eagles and fell a little bit short.
And last thing, what do you make of because I think it's legitimate in the 21st century, and I feel like the Seahawks were a little ahead of the curve on, it's nice when you have a good QB on his rookie deal versus once the guy gets his big second contract and how that kind of compromises the overall depth. Do you feel that way? Does that matter to you? Do you think, well, if I were a GM, I wouldn't be handing out a deal like that? I mean, how many guys are worthy of that kind of loot?
Well, you know, I think that the salary cap structure is about to change as the next collective bargaining agreement comes along. I think that is going to increase, you know, pretty big. So the percentage of what some of these new contracts at the quarterback position are going to be as you move forward into year two or three of your deal is not going to be as much of a hit as maybe it was earlier. You know, I don't know. They're paying them, and you know, it's an important position.
I would say perhaps even the most important position. Yeah, I'm fascinated by it because of the gravity, the pressure that you have to put yourself through and to feel it, whether you try and tune out the noise and everything. It's really remarkable stuff. And you know, it's a weird thing that the human experience is soldiers who fight overseas. They feel nervous for you. Like, it should be the other way, but
they shouldn't.
But that kind of pressure, I admire anybody who can go through it and be as apparently breezy as you are as you deal with it all. You seem pretty grounded.
It's always breezy.
Yeah. Well, it's partially because you're tall. All right. Go off into the day, Matt Ryan. Go talk to everybody and have a grand time. And we'll look forward to seeing you at a future Super Bowl.
All right. Perfect. All right. Appreciate it, Dave.
And then I'm going to ask you again there if it's a
must-win. How about 51?
No. No, you're not going to be mad about that, are you?
No, I've gotten over it.
Oh, yeah. You told me you got over it. All right. There he goes. Number two, everybody.
Dave. Dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't-don't. Dave.
All right, that's it.
That was great, Dave. Well done.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much.
Good work.
And thank you, Eddie Spaghetti and MVP, for your nice list there. We have more stuff coming up for you. Still to come from the Super Bowl in the coming days. What else, MVP? A splendid and extended conversation with Derwin James, number 33 of the LA Chargers. I suspect that this guy, hear me now, handsome. This is a good question. Who will be... When we look back, who's going to go down now with 1 year's information under our belts? What guy drafted in 2018 will go down as the greatest of them all? I think it's him.
It could easily be him.
Okay, but you could also go Saquon. You could go Bake.
I would say him or Bake.
Go
Saquon's going to have a short career.
Oh, that's not so nice.
I just said that.
He has a big tuchus. He has the biggest tuchus in thigh since I met Sidney Crosby. That's the only rival. Spaghetti. He's gonna go Saquon.
No, just to not be a homer. Quentin Nelson, one.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. MVP.
Patrick as well.
Saquon. All right. There it is, everybody. Another grand episode of the DDFP. Proof that, like I said last the last show we did, we're still here.
We're still here.
I'm copywriting.
We're still here.
Before anyone else gets that, I want to copyright. We're still here.
Right.
That's the DDFP motto for the offseason 2019. Because like it is every offseason, yeah, we like talking about football, but the offseason is Damashek season. Handsome's along for the ride. So's MOVP and Spaghetti. Then Slice of Heaven.